Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
I say if you can't afford an Uber, you probably can't afford to purchase a new car.
Probably.
A while back, a man in Florida, his name is Jason Vargesco. He went to a Hyundai dealership to finance a brand new vehicle. They looked into it. They denied him. So Jason got upset and stole a car from the lot after noticing the keys were left in the ignition. He did get away with it briefly. Authorities didn't have a problem tracking Jason down for two reasons. One, the car from the lot had a GPS sensor on it.
Yeah, of course.
And two, Jason had given his address to the dealership when he was trying to get financing. He admitted to police that he stole the vehicle because he was denied a car loan. He said he had no choice because he spent his last 50 on an Uber to get to the dealership. He was hit with a felony count of vehicle theft.
You know, he's not alone in being that stupid. There was a guy who kind of successfully robbed a bank a couple of years ago, and his plan was to make it subtle. He rolled in with a check, the teller takes it, and then he kind of indicates for her to flip it over. On the back, he'd, you know, stick up whatever, give me what's in the drawer. And she very gladly handed him the money, and he walks out the door, and she flips the check back over, which has his address printed on it, just called the cops and said, basically, just meet him at home. And the cops were there before he got home. There was another dude, it was like a Taco Bell or something. He robbed the Taco Bell, same kind of thing, opened all the registers, gave me the cash, real calm, they gave him the cash, sent him on his way. The reason they were cool about it, he'd literally gone in there to apply for a job. So he'd written down all of his information, then robbed the place, and they were just like, sure, man, take everything you want.
What was stolen from you, or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-ROCK.
Quick text here. Says, in college, my roommate, he was the local weed guy, so he had a bunch of people in and out all hours of the day. Well, I guess he skimped someone one too many times, and they broke in, and they stole his whole stash and all of his right shoes. Never found out who did it, and he was more mad about the shoes than he was about the stash being gone.
That's horrible.
That's a
just
power move.
Just take both pairs.
No.
Or both of them.
Nope.
Nope, because someone's going to wear them, and you're going to see them. In this instance, you basically just screwed him.
I'm just screwing you over because you screwed me over in our drug deal.
We've read these stories before about a group of guys who break into a Foot Locker location or whatever the shoe store is.
Don't steal all the display
shoes. They take all the display shoes, which are all righties, and run out the door, and, you know, they don't have a left shoe.
Right. I mean, Foot Locker's like, look, it's annoying, but we have insurance on this. You just have right shoes. So unless you're one-legged or you happen to have two right legs, this is no benefit.
You can't just go buy a left shoe.
Yeah, listen, Foot Locker. Hey, Plow, did you just sell left shoes? Were you here last night? Nah, man, it wasn't me.
What was stolen from you, or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicho, hola.
Hola.
So this is back when I was back in 1985, when I was 15.
All right.
And we ended up at a Chuck E. Cheese. And they're one of the
that
doors
doesn't sound good
open.
The way you say it, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just said we went to Chuck E. Cheese. Ted's right. The way you said it is already suspect. Like, every time you say something, we should just hear.
Ended up at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, you know, I'd been there before, so I, as a youth, but now I'm 15, and and one of the doors is open, and to the video games, and you know, it's just tokens in there, so you really can't steal anything. But there was a key hanging inside the door, so we took that key, and it ended up opening up almost every video game in the whole city we were living in.
Also, you can actually take money from other machines and other places.
Yeah.
How much money do you think you got? How long did you guys manage to go around to different machines? Because, right, that's the day, the heyday of the video arcade.
Right.
So how many different malls and Chuck E. Cheese's and everything?
It was turkey shoot. We were like, we were at a convenience store, and we were able to go click, 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 you know, and just get as many credits as we wanted, and then just grab a bunch of quarters.
And then did you spit? I mean, so when you have the quarters, I may or may not have been involved in a quarter theft once. Right. But I remember the cashier. We bought
like, stuff from 7-Eleven with it. You know, like bought hot dogs with it and stuff.
So I remember one of the cashiers, my buddy spent his quarters first. Same, it wasn't 7-Eleven, but some other convenience store. And we loaded up on garbage that you eat when you're 15. And I just remember the lady looked at me and goes, "Do you guys get paid in quarters?" Like, no. So she knew we stole them. She didn't care. She didn't ask a lot of questions, but it's very obvious that your $12 purchase, you're like, "I have $12 in quarters."
Yeah. We bought a pizza once in Nichols.
And Nichols.
And I thought that guy was going to kill us.
Man, how much was the pizza?
I mean, this is, what, like mid-90s, whatever. So it's a Domino's pizza. I mean, probably couldn't have been more than $12 or $13.
All Nichols.
And I don't even know why we had that many nickels.
Now, was this delivery or did you pick it up at the shop?
It was delivery.
Dude.
But we were like 13 or 14. I don't know why he had all those nickels, but that's all we had. And we were like, screw it. And I remember we talked about it. We still did it. And I mean, the guy was just begrudging. He did not want to take the money.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's but a lot of nickels.
240 nickels, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, how did you hand them to him? Was it like in a bag, or did you just like
honestly,
count them
we
out?
Had like $20 in a giant bag, and we're just like, "Here you go."
Okay, all right,
right. So I mean, like we thought again. You got this is teenage, you know, 13, 14 year old minds. We're like, well, we're tipping him, so he should be happy.
Yeah,
but the
earn
guy's
that
like,
tip, bro,
right? And I mean, look, he looked at us dead ass. It was just like, what the f am I going to do with all these? There's $3 in there for you, sir.
Oh, Ted. My buddy's.
We were degenerate.
Not
one
even
buddy's
quarters,
dad.
Man.
Sorry, Miles. He also had a descrambler.
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing. You buy this pizza full of with nickels. We're there alone. It's basically just a matter of waiting each other out before everybody else is going to sleep so you could watch porn.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So my buddy's uncle, let's just say that he had businesses, but he laundered money.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Let's just say that.
He was his job, man.
You know, hypothetically.
He laundered money. Okay, now, I knew this guy because when I was growing up and I was in high school, he had one of the coolest arcades that had the newest games in them.
All right.
So when you're a kid, yes, they had an arcade at the mall, but the arcade downtown that he owned was spectacular. Like, I mean, you
bigger, better, more games.
Like, they had Dragon Slayer when it came out. They had all the newer games, so you always wanted to go there, and they would have deals. So twice a week, for $1, you would get 8 tokens.
Okay.
All right.
Which you perceive as $2.
$2. But he also owned a laundromat, and
tokens.
He owned 2 car washes.
Mm-hmm. All tokens?
All tokens.
Yep.
Now, what my buddy... Okay, so now we're 18 years old, but they're still having the two-for-one deal on whatever it was, Tuesday or Wednesday to get kids in, you know, in the summertime. Anyway, so my buddy says, look, he's like, here's something you need to know. His job was to manage all those operations. Now, the laundromat, he just kind of went in and cleaned up every night.
Sure.
Mopped the floors and all that stuff. The arcade, he vacuumed, whatever. He was just, the beginning, open, and that was his job. He never was there during the day. And, like, the car wash, he could show up once every 2 or 3 days because you don't really have to worry about tokens.
Yeah.
You know, being in the box. In that world, no one's going to go and steal those tokens. But what we would do is, anytime that we had, because we were 18, we didn't have a laundromat. We would go to the arcade, and we would get the 2-for-1 on the tokens. Those tokens worked at the laundromat. So when you wanted to do your laundry, you ran over to the arcade on Tuesday. You got double the tokens. Or you could go wash a car if you wanted to. We never did that, but I didn't have a car when I was 18. But that was another option. All the tokens worked at all three locations. They were the exact same token.
Yep.
I know a guy. Laundered money.
Right, I know a guy that did it, and he did 3 years in federal penitentiary for laundering money for the PG County government.
Was he using tokens?
Yeah, car washes.
Yeah, I'll say, tokens, it was great. Way to go, because the truth is, and no one's ever said this, it's just a perception we have. It's they kind of colluded across the board, or it's like, look, if someone puts $1 in a machine, give them 4 tokens, because the tokens are always about the size of a quarter. So we just estimate that a token is worth 25 cents. And we talked to a guy used to be in the mob, and he's like, look, bro, all up and down the East Coast, laundromats, car, you name it. If it used tokens, the mob ran it because the tokens said they could get like 100 of them for $1.50, right? But the way people perceive it, again, is that they're worth 25 cents a pop. He's like, they're not. He's like, there is no money value of a single token to be like, you know, 0.03% of a cent. So he's like, we just raked in dough. They laundered the money and went to other things. But he goes, look, that was, he said, if you're on the East Coast during whatever time it was and you put a token into a machine, the mob was running it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant.
Well, and you'll notice why some places you literally use quarters.
Yes.
But they have,
that's tit for tat.
Morgantown
right?
on parking lots, Ted, that ran on tokens for the actual meter. So when you parked in the parking lot, instead of going out and putting money in a slot or whatever, you got tokens out of a machine, and then you went and you paid.
Because they made money hand over fist, right? It's $3. They give you 12 tokens. Yeah. And there was a guy, this was in Georgetown outside of Washington, D.C., and on the weekends, that place blows up. You got all the colleges, people. It's an absolute magnet for drinking. It's got a bunch of bars, and you're still in D.C. So when there's an open air parking lot, they have security guards. And I remember parking at this one parking lot probably 3 times in the course of a year, and the parking was reasonable. It's just like $20 all night, which that's kind of a steal. So it was always 2 guys out there in the vest, and all these people parked their cars, and they'd collect your money, and they'd give you change back, and all this kind of thing. Never thought about it. But a year and a half later, I read in the paper, these 2 guys got busted because they were never hired by the parking lot. They had nothing to do with it. It was just too, like if you and I just walked out there and said, oh, hey, man, $20. No one thought about it. So they had stacks of cash every night. I mean, you saw it. And people are in and out. Like I said, $20. Everyone gave you the money. The thing is, your car still was not broken into. Everything was fine, but they apparently worked like 2 or 3 parking lots, and you're like,
all you need is one of those red cone flashlights, probably, like traffic directing flashlights.
Dude, they had the flashlights, and like I said, they didn't wear the orange vest, but it was the equivalent of the high vis vest. So you just assume they worked there, and it's always the same 2 guys. So I never thought about it, and in the end, I kind of didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I mean, the car was fine. I just didn't know. We're literally handing these guys $20 a pop, not employees, just two smart dudes that made a whole lot of money.
And that's old Commander Stadium in Southwest D.C., RFK Stadium.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of parking, so you generally parked in people's lawns or on the street.
Sure.
But even if you parked on the street, somebody would hop off the stoop and be like, $20. I remember my dad once being like, no, it's the street parking. He's like, do you want your car here?
Yeah.
Give him $20.
Yep, you do.
It's a trade.
Baltimore Sun, the Sunday paper, someone would go to the actual newspaper box, and they would put in whatever money needed to open that door.
$1.50.
And they would steal the entire stack of newspapers. Then they would go to the intersection and sell you the Sunday newspaper for $1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you were stopped, they would walk up to your car. You want, hey, $1.
My dad did it every Sunday.
I did it whenever it was available.
And you knew that they stole it.
And the Baltimore Sun didn't care either. To be honest with you, they did not care.
They knew.
But it had all the coupons in it.
Well, papers made most of their bulk money off the subscription.
For advertising.
Yeah, subscriptions, right. Not the one in the stand.
You'd watch these guys just open it, pull all of them out, walk 15 feet away to the corner. And you're like, cool, because it's cheaper than buying it out of the box.
Exactly. What was stolen from you, or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jacob. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. So, this is about 19, 20 years ago. It wasn't myself. I guess I'm an accomplice on part of it, but my friends had noticed that the neighbor had left their garage door open and went out of town.
Ooh.
And they had multiple quads and dirt bikes. And so they decided one night to take two of my friends. They took a dirt bike and a quad, and we rallied the crap out of them. And then we noticed that there was signs posted for reward if it was returned. Well, one of my friends sold the dirt bike, and then after we rallied the quad and it got rolled a couple times and everything, I put it in the back of my truck and we returned it and got a $300 reward.
Jesus.
Like, I didn't do it.
Where
I was an accomplice.
What did you tell
him? Sounded very involved.
Yeah,
in
where did you tell him you found the quad?
We told him it was in the woods. This is up in Bonnie Lake. And, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's why you don't leave your garage door open, right? And it's like nobody wants to be robbed, but the expectation of being robbed is so high and such a regular thing that if you said, I left my garage door open when I went on vacation, what would everyone tell you? You're an idiot. You're a fool. Of course they're going to steal. So you always say, man, no one should steal. But we know damn well they're going to. That's why you have a lock on your door. Yeah. That's why you freak out like, oh, my God, did we lock the door? And look, if you want to kick open a door, it's as easy as kicking open a door. But somehow if it's unlocked, my wife was met about a week ago. She's like, you left the kitchen door unlocked all night. I'm like, I didn't think about it. Over the summer, where we're in and out of the garage more. I woke up one morning, opened the door. No one took anything, but the garage door was wide open. And you kind of have that, let me do a quick inventory. Because I'm like, you're inviting people to grab all of your crap because I left it wide open when clearly we're asleep.
What? I mean, look, I still live in an apartment building. It happened to me a few weeks ago.
What's that?
Just, I came home from the grocery store and just had my hands full. So I just didn't put my deadbolt on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was sitting on my couch and I could hear people right outside my door. And I was like, yeah, it must be my neighbors. And the door opened, two women with cakes and balloons came in, and I was like, hey! And they're like, I think we're in the wrong house. And I was like, you are? And they were like, but it seems pretty close to here. And I just did a quick little thing, and I was like, are you guys from Atria originally? And
they
were
Atria,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, just here, walk out my slider. You want to be next door.
Go out my slider, let's catch it.
At least they ate cakes and balloons, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
How about you can stay if you want?
What was stolen from you, or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-RON.
Hang out for a while.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I just know my neighbors to the right. They were just a building off, but I know they're from there. I had talked to them before. They used to live in Texas, so they call it football. So I was just like, you want to hang out with them.
You ladies like soccer?
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to hang out with me and Carol and Frank that live next to me.
Hello, Dane. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola. So what's up, Stolen?
It was pretty interesting. I was living in Boston. I actually talked to you guys yesterday. So, yeah, I'm the same one. The first 2 days living in my apartment, I got broken into. Two laptops got stolen, an iPod Touch and an iPhone. But the crazy thing about it is that my roommate was in the shower, literally walked out of the bathroom, and he said he saw his phone cable swinging from the window. And then called the cops. Cops showed up. They're like, yeah, you have a fire escape. There is no lock on the fire escape. There's a handprint on the fire escape. Somebody came in through the fire escape and stole this. The next day, my other roommate, who was in the same bedroom, because it was the two guys, he was asleep, and he had his phone in his hand because he's a dead hard sleeper, and somebody broke in while he was sleeping and took his phone out of his hand while he was sleeping. So two break-ins, 2 days in a row.
And no one ever caught this guy?
Nope. Called the cops both times. Only thing we ever did was try to get a hold of our property manager, be like, hey, the said that all the locks were inspected. Clearly they weren't. And the property manager was just like, hey, we'll give you half off next month. I'm like, nope, we're not going to do that. That says that,
Welcome to Boston.
That says this is going to happen again.
We used to steal with the help of the fire escape.
Yeah.
So 18 years old, back to the same apartment where we didn't have a laundromat. We had a fire escape out the back. We were on the third floor of this building. When you got down to the bottom, there was about the ladder stopped at about 6.5 feet.
Yeah, it's about right.
All right. So right beside us was Chico Dairy. Chico Dairy was also a bakery.
And they had a loading dock out back. And they would make donuts. They made all the things in their convenience stores that you could walk up. You get a donut. You get the equivalent of a maple bar, whatever they're making.
Yeah.
But they also made pepperoni rolls, which were fantastic. They were just buns filled with pepperoni and cheese. If you've never had one, might not sound great. They are fantastic.
It's a West Virginia staple.
It is. And they would air them out on the back deck on huge racks that were, you know, there were 12 big pans.
Yeah, the sheet trays and
per,
the roller.
You know, per roller unit. And they would put them out back to cool before they bagged them. And they would bake every night. So at 18 years old, you're up at 3:30 in the morning. You're up at 4 o'clock in the morning. The overnight crew trucks are pulling into that back at about 4:30.
Yeah,
that early in the morning. But if you got there before that, but my buddy Brett, he still does this. He is a rock climbing instructor. He works at the Wall at West Virginia University. He does outdoor stuff. He teaches rappelling and all this stuff. He's basically a trained monkey.
Yeah.
So he was the guy that could honestly do a pull-up and pull himself up that ladder without even swinging his legs or nothing. Like, yeah. So we would send Brett down with a garbage bag, and he would go, and he would dump whatever was down there into the garbage bag, and then, like Santa Claus, throw the damn thing over his shoulder, reach up with one arm, and pull himself up to the point where he could reach up with a bag, and he would do a pull-up. It was amazing to watch. He was like a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But he just scaled that damn thing, man, and when he came to the top, it was just, these things were hot. The donuts were hot. They were hot. I mean, it's different to get a donut, but man, when you get a hot,
a fresh one
out of mm-hmm. the oven donut or a pepperoni roll, and I think they knew it was us. We never really got busted. I don't know if they would have cared or not because we knew most of the people that worked there because we would go on the back deck and drink beer and all night and talk to everybody anyway. So they probably had a pretty good idea it was us.
I'm sure they knew.
Because Brett would leave the steel pan on the side
right.
where that whole rack was. Obviously, there's a whole pan missing. Just, you know, they probably thought it was someone in the alley or they knew it was us. But
they knew it was you.
Either way.
Yeah.
What was stolen from you? Or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-ROCKS.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Shocking that we haven't been fired after 20 years. And because of that, Black Raven Brewing is hooking us up with the Men's Room 20th Anniversary Lager.
Tasting crisp and refreshing. On draft, in cans. Mm-hmm. They're the bright silver cans, the IPA, and the bright yellow cans.
That's correct.
But the lager's fantastic. We're going to have a launch party this Friday, 2 to 6, Black Raven Brewing in Woodinville, live broadcast. You are invited. The sausage will be there. The salsa will be there. You'll be a part of the live studio audience as we celebrate and kick off our 20th year celebration.
Have you had the lager on draft yet?
On draft, I have not.
Me neither, man.
I am going to crack one here in about a half an hour.
I'm going to drink
right before emails.
So. I've had a lot of them out of the can. I plan on joining you in that. I have not had it on draft
yet. Yeah, it's absolutely free. It's Friday afternoon. Hopefully you can join us for the Men's Room Lager Launch Party, which goes down this Friday. It's going to be a good time. So hopefully you'll be able to stop by.
The Lager Launch, man, that sounds like a water flume at an amusement park, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Come on down to the Lager Launch.
You're on water. You're in one of those.
But it's a fast one.
You're a flume or
you're
in a barrel.
The only problem with those is, like, they're not bad, man, but, like, as soon as you sit in the thing, you're kind of wet because it's always wet from the people before you, but they're so slow until that final last drop.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I mean, some of them have a few more bumps and stuff along the ride.
Yeah, well, you get those little curvy things, and it's like, all right. Like, and I get it. Like, when my kids were little, that part was cool for them. Of course, they scream going down the final one, but, like, they need a more adult one, too.
Like, I think you also, you get to a point if you go, like, you go to the same park twice.
Yeah.
Or you look at that ride, you can figure out where to sit where you either get wet or you don't get as wet.
Oh, trust me. And I know it sounds bad, but and look, I enjoy the water flume, but it's like, I don't feel like getting soaked. Depending on the chair. If it's super hot, then yeah, I'll get wet. But if it's 75 degrees, I would position the kids, because they didn't know it yet. So when we went down, they just got obliterated with water.
Nice.
And pretty much kept me dry.
Well, the problem is those, like in Disney World, and Animal Kingdom, there's one of those rides. It's like a giant White River rafting, but it's round.
Yeah.
So it's like fake rapids and stuff. So everybody gets kind of wet, but you don't know how it's going to spin.
Yes.
And there's only
right.
two
yes.
people yep. that got yep. soaked. And I am like a magnet for getting soaked.
I've been on those before, and you're right, because the thing just spins the whole time. And you're like, good damn it. And you see the rapids coming up. Yeah, you try to shift your weight.
Here's a little pro tip, by the way. If you happen to join us, we will have the 20th anniversary lager on draft as mm-hmm. well as the Men's Room IPA. But keep this in mind. Friday afternoon from 2 to 6, stop by, get a few draft beers, hang with us, be a part of the show. On the way home, if you're going to a little football party, let's say on Sunday, they have to go six packs. So if you're going to someone's house and you want to send and bring a nice little welcoming gift, you can get a mix and max match case of beer, pick up a couple six packs, and you're already good to go. You've already got stuff in hand. You never want to walk into a party empty handed. Now you've got the Men's Room IPA and a Men's Room 20th anniversary.
That's not
a bad call.
You're not wrong. Just my pro tip is, and this is me, and I try to do this as much as I can. You bring the one cheap sixer that you don't necessarily care about, and then you bring one of ours, see? But when you crack a beer, you crack the one you want, which is ours, and then hopefully other people are drinking the other beer.
Well, the thing is that you spread the word when you bring the beer, and if people try it and they like it, then they'll be more inclined to buy it.
I know, but in that moment, they're drinking more of the beer. But you're right. What you need to do to spread the word is go, man. Yeah. You guys don't know what you're missing.
Help out our friends there at the three local Fisher houses. All right, a question. What was stolen from you? Or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So to keep a short story nice and sweet, I went and saw the Shane Gillis show this weekend down at Climate Pledge.
Great show.
Yeah, it was amazing. And we parked in a parking garage right across the street from the Climate Pledge. And almost kind of like an omen, as we were leaving after we parked, a cop pulled through and said, "Hey, have you guys seen anybody doing anything suspicious, like who shouldn't be here?" And we were like, "No, we just got here. Nothing suspicious." Went into the show. We got out, 2 hours later, and the entire floor level of the garage we parked in, every single car had been broken into and robbed, except for our car.
What kind of car were you driving?
It's a blue Kia Optima.
That's why I didn't break into it.
They're like, right, there's nothing about it. Yeah. So seriously, every car down there.
Did you not, did you put, your backpacks and everything in the trunk?
My cousin, it was his car that we took down there, and he had just got it cleaned and vacuumed. It was pristine. There was nothing in it.
It also,
I mean, I hate to say this, and it sucks, because I still love Seattle, but if you're in Seattle proper, put everything in your trunk. If you have anything people can see, they will bust your window.
And if they really want it, they're going to bust your window anyway and just pop the trunk.
Right, so just make sure there's nothing visible, right?
Right, because that's why they're going in. They're going in if they see something on the seat.
Hey, Ryan, did you happen to see the Ted Smith at the Shane Gillis show?
I did not know.
Well, there's this awesome picture of Shane Gillis,
Adam Ray,
Adam Ray,
Coach McDonald, Cal Raleigh.
So this picture's been floating around, just kind of telling you, hey, Shane Gillis was here. Some of the heavy hitters from Seattle were with him. And just so you know, and this is the honest God truth, we just heard Ted say the other day, "God damn it, they cropped me out." So Ted was with them, and they cropped out Ted and his buddy. They're all like arm in arm.
Yeah.
For this picture that is now floating around everywhere in Seattle. Ted was there. There's just no evidence.
I was backstage. I was talking to Coach.
It's like what you do with an ex.
Right, exactly.
Just conveniently. Or like what Ryan Reynolds does when he's celebrating his wife's birthday.
Right.
Yeah, like I still love the Seahawks, but damn, man, you cropped me out.
Come on, man. How many different places have you seen this picture? Because I've seen it a few times, and it's not like on people's Instagram, but just like, Como News. Hey, Singles.
Hey, well, Miles today in the office goes, "Hey, Ted, look at this." Yahoo Sports is like, "Coach McDonald had a big night out."
Picture.
Cal Raleigh. Yeah.
Adam Ray.
Damn, man.
Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
All the famous people are there.
They should at least put in parentheses. Ted Smith was here.
If you go to DeMathis Instagram, they used my photo.
Of course.
But I feel like everybody else picked it up off DeMathis.
It's doctored. He put himself in there.
Cropped me out.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
It wouldn't be so bad if the picture didn't just kind of become the de facto picture to explain that night.
Correct.
Because now it's floating around everywhere, and I'm like, Ted was there. Ted is literally right next to this guy.
Chad and I were the ones that, we should all get a photo. Now, look, Adam and Shane, I think they've already gotten a photo, but we were like, we should all get them. And then they were like, yeah, get Coach McDonald in here, too. We were this is great.
Did Adam Ray remember you from your last weird...
He did. Okay. He's going to come on the show. He's a super nice guy.
How about Coach McDonald?
I don't think Coach McDonald...
He's probably got some kind of contract with the Cairo or
whatever. Yeah, he's over there with,
He does a coach's show. So
he does it like Brock and Sock in the morning.
He can't come on our station.
No.
It's exclusive.
He was very nice, too. And it's just weird. You forget he's an NFL coach, but he lived in Baltimore for that long.
Right.
We worked in Baltimore. His wife's from Northern Virginia, where my brother lives. So, we were just kind of chatting about stuff like that. And then,
but they're not in the picture.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, sure the best part is, my apologies to Mariners fans. I did not recognize Cal Raleigh. Thought he was a very attractive man. And at one point, Dumb and Dumber, I look at him and he's eating hummus. And I go, "Hummus, huh?" And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, is it good? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right.
That's what kind said? Of conversation is that?
I don't know. I just was trying to strike up some conversation. That's
hummus,
all I got.
Huh?
Yeah.
But you always do go to the food bowl when people are eating stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even think you mean to. That's just what you do.
Well, listen, even for Shane, right? He doesn't know Coach McDonald. He was like, they just told me he was here. Could he come backstage? And he was like, of course. But like, even for Cal, it's odd. Because not everybody knows everybody. So nobody's really eating. And I was taking advantage of the Bud Lights. Thanks, Shane. So he was the only one that was eating. And I was like, hummus, huh? Yeah.
He's probably the one who said, crop that weirdo out of the picture.
He is not coming on the show then. What was stolen from you, or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-ROCK.
Adam's definitely pumped to come on the show, though.
All right, good. Okay. Yeah. Ask him about this picture. God.
And also, shout out to Shane Gillis. He set a record that night for that arena.
Really?
Yeah.
As far as what, the attendance?
Right, the attendance record.
Damn.
Wow.
That's pretty substantial.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Well, he doesn't have much of a stage, I guess, right? He doesn't need to take up all
right.
that
does he fit
so
more
was he like more in the, was he like in the round?
Yeah, he did it just center in the round there. Like Big J Okerson, like when he does his act, which is good, but he just sits on a stool and looks in one direction.
Yeah.
Kind of plays with the crowd. But like Adam and Shane like walk around the stage and kind of talk to different angles of the arena.
Hmm. And then crop your ass out of the picture that's right. used nationally. I know, man. It's just so close. So close.
What was stolen from you? Or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-ROCK.
I did like somebody emailed us or tweeted me. He was like, I thought that was you, man. I was like, you know me. I'm just chirping people in the beer line. And he had a beer in his pocket. I was like, ah, that beer looks cozy. And he's like, yeah, thanks, dude.
You like hummus?
Right?
Here. That's what Cal Raleigh eats. FYI.
Backstage hummus.
Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, my friend. Hola.
Hola.
All right, calling from New Jersey.
Oh, nice.
Right on. And I'm going back to the late 1970s when things were a lot more fun. A bunch of friends and I, we were teenagers, and we would find our way to purchase some Boone's Farm apple wine and blackberry brandy.
Yep, I remember it well.
And then we'd stock up and tell our family, hey, we're going to go sleep over at a friend's camp out in his yard, like a block away. And we had a tent, we'd go there, and we'd drink all of our, you know, Thunderbird, for lack of a better phrase. And then we wait till about 3:34 in the morning when the delivery trucks were delivering to the stores up on the main drag. And then we go down the main drag and steal all the goods. Go back to the tent and had a wonderful feast.
What were your main targets?
Yeah, what were you stealing? Like Little Debbie's or what? What are we talking about here?
No, we had, you know, frozen hot dogs, hamburgers, snack stuff, you know, sweet stuff. We didn't care. Because at that point in time, we were so stupid drunk. We were probably like 16, 17, give or take. We didn't care. If it was free, it was good.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, man, if I'm in New Jersey, knowing the food deal in New Jersey, I'd let Little Debbie and Hostess go by. It's like, no, I'm waiting for the Italian stuff. Anything that is made in New Jersey, those are the food trucks that I'm targeting. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about
Let me help you out. We were in Lake Hiawatha, New Jersey.
Where is that in the state?
Parsippany is the biggest town surrounding it.
I've never even heard of that.
I've heard of it. I just don't know where it is.
Morristown, Morris County. It's in Morris County.
Okay.
About half hour from Manhattan.
I was going to say, New York part or Philly part. Right, okay. Yeah, I'm definitely stealing the food, man.
Taking a roll of Taylor ham.
I told you, man, we used to steal from the Royal Farms by our place all the time.
Didn't you say, like, when you stole
but you were stealing in the store.
Right, so like as you were checking out, there's like candy bars and like gum and acids. You would just put your hands down there and fill up your pockets.
Yeah.
But yeah, one time I woke up and I didn't see what I was grabbing, but there was like 20 fast break bars and like 20 things of Rolaids.
But you love fast break, right?
I do. That
and
was a bonus.
You probably needed the Rolaids.
Probably. Right, and then the other part of that story is one night we're in there and a guy stole like a sizable amount of something. We chase him out the store. My buddy tackles him. We come back in, and the woman goes, thank you so much. You can have anything you want in this store for free. And we went, we wouldn't dream of it. Couldn't do it. Jesus. We're just doing our part.
What was stolen from you, or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803.
We'll be back tomorrow to steal.
Right. I will do it tomorrow. No, yeah. Don't you worry about that. Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Man, it's been a cold morning driving to work. So this just happened yesterday. I was over on North 50 in Seattle, and I do renovations and home remodels for an event. I have to have some of my tools in my truck at all times, hopping from place to place. And I'm just parked on a very busy road, people walking all over the place, cars driving. And someone had the gall to bash out my driver's side window and take about $1,500 worth of my tools from me.
And you said this was yesterday?
Find the guy, but just yesterday. It happened within an hour. I was at the job site, man.
Damn.
Yeah. Do you know my pack outs? Ah.
Do you know anyone who has professional tools in their vehicle on the regular who has not had them stolen? I feel like that's the story I hear over and over and over. You got professional tools in your vehicle. Sooner or later, someone breaks that window and takes it.
It seems to happen once to everybody. This is the first big one, big hit for me, and I've been doing this about 15 years. But, you know, now I'm gonna lock them up tight from now on and not have anything in my truck.
Are they insured?
Yeah, could you insure those?
No, well, I guess you could, but no, with so many tools and so many hand tools and little things you have, it's really hard to do that.
Well, the insurance company might say, did you leave them in your truck? And you said, yeah. And I said, well, it'll cover
pre-existing condition. Yeah, exactly. Right?
They got to bring it to your house. You never know. Steve, didn't you have a buddy who said he was down in Burien and parked his truck for something, or he had a work thing, or whatever the deal was, or what?
Okay, so this is what I found out. I had misunderstood the story. He has a truck, and it looks like a work truck, in his driveway. And, I mean, they live in the middle of Seattle, so the driveway's not very big. It's just one of those kind of aims directly down to a garage. The garage is full of life when you have four kids, so it's parked outside. Now, keep in mind, between him and his wife, they each have a decent, nice vehicle to drive around in. And then he has this ratty-ass, beat-up truck sitting in the driveway. And, like, my wife and I have borrowed it to go to the dump. It right. is that vehicle. So someone stole it out of his driveway. That's the part I did not realize. What's funny is my buddy John, beer guy,
yeah.
apparently was at his house with him tonight and said something to the effect of, man, it sounded like a vehicle was leaving the driveway, but we didn't think that was the case. Anyway, so they stole the truck. The truck was found the next day in Burien. But, I mean, it was stripped of everything. The tire's gone. Wheel's gone. And like anything, it's...
Was it up on cinder blocks?
It's up on blocks. And I was like, well, what'd you do? He's like, man... Because, look, the truck's not worth a ton of money. But it's frustrating because he does do a lot of, like, physical stuff. So he drives crap around. So he went to all these used tire places, bought used wheels, and got it back.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, yeah, I did not know where it was. But the cops call him the next day, like, truck's in Burien, and we know it was stolen because it's up on blocks. He's like, cool.
Dude, that happened to my mom at one of the last places she was living. And I'd be like, Mom, you got to get out of that building. It's not that bad. I'm like, they stripped your car of the tires.
Right.
And they stole one of her doors.
To the car?
They stole a door?
A door.
Huh. Yeah. There's a woman who works in this building.
So just like I was like, that building in that neighborhood, you know, sometimes it's just in one of those little nooks where it's like that area you're in is bad.
And it's an easy target. It probably has some kind of buffer to the general public, I'm guessing. We have a woman who works in this building, and for like the last month, every time she sees me and Miles, she's like, these goddamn people, apparently who live downstairs. So my guess is she's on the second floor. The people that live on the first floor, it's not a fire escape. She's like, I'll hear their ladder bang against my window, and they're climbing up to steal stuff. And when I see them, you know, they disappear real quick. But she's come home a few times, and they've gone through the kitchen window, and they've stolen some crap. And she's like, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter the threat. So her son, grown man, but her son has a pit bull.
He was moving away or something.
Who's been staying with her. She's like, I see that ladder pop up. They walk up, that dog is staring at him. What did she tell us the other day? So they climb down the ladder real fast, and then the ladder pops up at another window. Same guys, and it's a dog, man. So the dog's already at the other window looking at him, and then they went away. So this pit bull has, like, been her saving grace. Mm-hmm. She's like,
as far as not getting her stuff stolen.
I do not have problems, but I'm like, you move to a different window thinking the dog isn't going to piece that together.
What was stolen from you, or if you want to admit it, what did you steal? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Bill. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor.
Hola. Hey, so this took place probably the mid-90s. I grew up in a rural area, and I moved to Seattle, you know, kind of naive, and I moved to White Center. It was a nice apartment complex, vaulted ceilings, fireplace, three-bedroom, two-bath, looked kind of new. And
like the second day, one of the apartments got broke into. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then 2 days later, somebody was evicted. Everybody pilfered all their stuff, took it all away. I was like, oh, this is pretty bad. So I started, you know, asking questions. And White Center wasn't that great, that I found out. So I've been there about a week and a half, and my good buddy Matt calls me up and says, hey, Bill, I'm here to see your new apartment. I said, oh, yeah, where are you at? I'm in the parking lot. I said, oh, yeah, what you
doing? Hang on.
Once again, bedroom colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
No more brown words, but we understand.
I know this. Yeah. I've been listening to you guys since the 70s. I know this. What the heck?
Well, we're only in our, you know, single digits.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No worries, man.
Okay. So I run downstairs to meet my buddy Matt on the ground floor because I was up on the third floor. And I meet him. I said, oh, buddy, we got to go back to your car. He says, why? I said, this is not a great neighborhood. We run back to his 69 Carmagia. And three of his hubcaps are gone within like 2 minutes. I was like, are you kidding me? And there's nobody around anywhere.
Hey, man, look, they might be up to no good, but they're real good at what they do. I mean, it's like when these guys.
Professionals.
It is amazing. But you're talking about people getting evicted and people's stuff disappearing. At least in my teen years, when I lived in Baltimore, people got evicted all the time, right? And if you were not home when you got evicted,
they just put it on the front street.
Right. You did not come home to anything. We called it the Baltimore garage sale because you'd just be on the bus, whatever. And you could tell someone's evicted just the way their stuff's stacked outside. And there's like 30 people from the neighborhood taking all the stuff. Like, it's your neighbor. It's not like people came from other places. It's like, dude.
No, they're not really technically your neighbor anymore.
If you're wondering where your TV is, the guy you live next to, he's got it. Your sofa, like the other person, they've got it. It was unreal.
Steve Biggs from the Daily Biggs Morning Show is on the way. We're going to sit and spin. And today at 4:30, we have 10 songs that don't have the title of the song in the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And we got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.